I was talking with someone just before church about Bible study, and they said, "You really enjoy Bible study, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I love it. I love it." And when I turned to the lectionary readings for today, I got really excited for several reasons. It's a scripture very dear to my heart. But I also said, "Well, gee, I'm going to get to do a Father's Day sermon before Father's Day." But this is sort of a substitute Father's Day for me because my daughter and grandchildren are going to be on vacation next week. So she called up and she says, "Dad, we hadn't forgotten about Father's Day. We're not going to be here, so we're going to celebrate Father's Day Sunday. What do you want for Father's Day, and where do you want to go to eat?" And so I get to have two Father's Days. And so I get to talk about my Heavenly Father, because this scripture from Romans is just such a powerful, spiritual, ministering scripture to me. And I hope it will become so to you as we proceed through the sharing of the word this morning. Now, the question I ask you this morning is, how close are you to your Heavenly Father? Just how close are you in your personal, spiritual relationship with your Heavenly Father? Even in the Torah, back in Exodus, Moses tells us that because the father sins, and by the way, that goes for moms too, because the father sins, God visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. We can't escape the fact that what we do has not only an impact on our lives and on our immediate situations, but sometimes it can affect generations in the future, and that's particularly true of mothers and fathers. My concern as a pastor and as a counselor about people's personal relationship with Jesus Christ has led me to a conclusion. And that is that our personal relationship with God as Heavenly Father is very much influenced by our personal relationship with our earthly fathers. If we had a wonderful relationship with our earthly father, it's easier to have a wonderful relationship with our heavenly father. If we had a difficult time with our earthly fathers, we have sometimes a difficult time having a personal relationship with our heavenly father. I was sharing with someone in counseling recently. I said, "You know, you talk about Jesus all the time. I never hear you talk about God as your father." And they hung their head. And they say, "Well, I don't know that I have a very good relationship with my heavenly father." And before long, they were pouring out their hearts about the kind of relationship that was not so good with their earthly father. Our relationships with our earthly fathers influence our relationship with the Heavenly Father. You know, as many of you know, as I wrote about during Lent and have shared before, but some of the people here may not know, you know, I grew up in a family where my father wasn't around much. I checked this out with my mom yesterday. You know, always a good resource. You know, check things out with your mother. She's going to be, we're going to be celebrating her 80th birthday next month. Do you know, I only remember one time in the first 8 years of my life that my father ever showed me any special attention and played with me. And that was the day when I was about 7 years old, and he had bought me a 24-inch bike. And, you know, even though I'm 6'2", I've got short legs. And at seven, they were even shorter. And the only way I could get on that bike was to get on the steps and climb on. And my dismount was to ride in the yard, get into a grassy spot, and jump off Otherwise, I'd be injured for life. And the only time, though, the only memory in my life of my father showing me any special attention was the day he was running behind me down our street as I learned to ride that 24-inch two-wheeler. And my mother told me yesterday, she says, you know, I really think your dad was afraid of children. Plus, he was never here. And so in one sense, when my mother and father separated, divorced, and then later my father abandoned us, there wasn't a whole lot of actual stuff to miss because I had no great memories of a father to miss. But I missed the idea of a father. I missed having a father like other kids had fathers. And, you know, I romanticized how wonderful that was, and I know every father is not a wonderful person. But I wanted a father in my life. And it seemed like my only choice ended up being God. That was the only chance I had. But living with an earthly father like that, you know, I was drawn more to Jesus than I was to my heavenly father because of the life I lived with an earthly father. You know, I know so many men who are like a young man that participated in a marriage enrichment weekend with his wife up in the Greensboro area. We went through the whole weekend, and we closed the weekend with a service of Holy Communion, healing, and wholeness. I had been at that church two or three times, preaching family life revivals and doing other things. And we put together this marriage retreat weekend. And little did I know the outpouring of people's pain that would come during that service of healing. We just took a chair, much like one of these chairs, and just sat it, and that became the altar, and people kneeled down at the chair, and they begin their prayers. We talked about how to ask for healing. And I remember this one man. I knew that there were half a dozen guys there that all were hunters. And he was like the macho man of the macho men. I mean, he was a guy that worked out and like weightlifting. I mean, if you ran into him, it'd be like running into that brick wall. I mean, a guy in his 30s in peak condition. And, you know, when they hunted, they bow hunted and black powder hunted. And you know, they were just and fishing and every manly thing you can think of. And this big, strong guy knelt at that chair and started pouring his heart out. He started crying because the one thing he always wanted in his life and never received was to hear his father say, "Son, I love you." And now his father was dead. What chance do I have now? And he just cried and he poured his heart out, and I ministered to him there as I knelt beside him. And I said, "Tell God how you feel. Trust that God will share this message with your father. But just open up your heart to your heavenly father." And he did. And he started talking to his father and telling how much he desired his father's approval, how he longed for a word of love from his father. But you know, so many men have lived in homes where it just wasn't proper for fathers to express that kind of thing. Many men lived in homes where their fathers were very harsh and sometimes harsh taskmasters. And sometimes they have become rather harsh taskmasters because of that example. And they can't come into a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father because they see Him through the lens of their earthly father. How is your relationship with your heavenly Father? I worked with a businessman one time. His marriage was falling apart. And he came in for counseling, and I realized that there was a deeper spiritual issue going on in his life. And as he unfolded the drama of his life, he said he never felt secure as a husband and as a father because of his relationship with his father, who was one of those harsh taskmaster type fathers. And he remembered back, even though he was a very successful, financially successful businessman, prominent in the community, well respected, he went all the way back till he was about 12 years old and remembered the time he had gone into a department store and stolen a belt. And his greatest fear when he was caught was that his father was going to find out about it. Now, it was his habit as a 12-year-old boy, I guess he started it a little earlier than that, but whenever he got really upset, he'd run out in the woods on the farm they owned. He'd find a tall tree, and he'd climb as high up in that tree as he could get to just sort of console himself. And eventually he would come down, and eventually he would have to face Dad. And he told me the day that he walked onto the carport, and his dad was sitting in a lawn chair at the far end of the carport. And here he was as a 12-year-old boy, and he knew his daddy knew about trying to steal a belt. And the shame and the distance that he felt between he and his father were immense. It was a chasm that he couldn't cross. There was no bridge long enough to emotionally cross that short 20 feet or so between that 12-year-old boy and his father. And that had taken something out of him for the rest of his life. That undercut his marriage and his relationship with his children. And in his pain, I asked him to ask Jesus to come in to that moment. And as is so often the case, when a person closes their eyes and starts describing a painful relationship and invites Jesus in, sometimes I hear, I said, "He's there, isn't he?" And he said, "Yeah, he's here." I said, "What's he doing?" "Well, he's standing kind of to the side, and he's between Dad and I, and he's got his arms out like this, one arm reaching out to me, and one arm reaching out to Dad." And he said, "Jesus is bringing my father and I together. And although my father never hugged me, never told me he loved me, he says, I feel my father's love and his embrace." How many of us do not have a healthy relationship with our Heavenly Father because we didn't have the best relationship in the world with our earthly father? And Jesus had a wonderful relationship with his father. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul shares, when we cry, "Abba, Father," it is God's Spirit witnessing to our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. When Jesus was kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he realized, "I really don't want to be crucified for the sins of the world." In the Gospel of Mark, he prayed, "Abba, Father." Abba was an Aramaic expression of God that was wonderfully loving. It was filled with childlike innocence and trust and compassion between the relationship of the child and the father. And it was often said, Abba, Father. I mean, Abba technically means father, but it's a more intimate word. It's likely when Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, for instance, when he said, Our Father, Your Father, My Father, over 30 times, when he spoke it in Aramaic, that sort of strange language if you went to see Passion of the Christ, the language of his day, each time he probably said, Abba, Father, the intimate Father, the loving Father, the Father I'm drawn to because of his great love for me. You know, really, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it would be proper to translate our Father, Abba, Father. Not just any Father. Not a father like some of us may have had, but a loving, compassionate father who just welcomes us into his arms like the father in the story of the prodigal son. That's who Jesus introduced us to. Now, the Jews used the word Abba, but never for God. It was Jesus who connected Abba, Father. The loving, compassionate father that a child adores. Sometimes growing up in our situations, our life situations build a barrier between us and our Heavenly Father. Especially if mothers say, well, just wait till your father gets home and you're going to get it. You see, we're hurting a future relationship with the Heavenly Father when we do that. We've got quite a few Catholics who've joined our church. If you grew up in a strict parochial school and you got in trouble and the nuns threatened to call Father so-and-so if you got bad enough, that may have created a negative relationship with your Heavenly Father. What we experience on earth sometimes becomes either the wonderful doorway to our Heavenly Father or a closed door to our Heavenly Father. Jesus came to open that door. When I deal with people who have been emotionally, physically, sexually abused by their fathers, they often can't use the name Father, Daddy, without experiencing tremendous pain. When I had a much larger office and worked with children who were abused, I used play therapy. I had the neatest little, I think it was a 57 Chevrolet Barbies convertible. And I had real characters, mom, dad, boy and girl, that could all fit into that convertible. And I'd get down on the floor with little kids and do play therapy. And we'd start acting out things about the family, and I can discover things about them, and that's the way I usually would win children over, is just playing in the floor with them and getting them to talk about the stories, and inevitably the family relationship would come out in that play therapy. Unless I used little miniature toys, I'd have a hard time finding a spot in my office to do that with a child. But I remember one child that wouldn't talk at first, but she would play. And she cried a lot. And eventually we started talking, and as she played out her drama of her life, I realized how abused she had been. I knew that. Her mother had separated from the father and had brought her in for help. And eventually I won her over. She would come and put her arms around my neck and hug me. She'd sit in my lap. Sometimes when she'd come into the office and I'd be sitting in my chair, she'd just come over and get down in the floor at my knee and hold on to my legs. You know, that's the way little 4, 5, 6-year-old kids do sometimes. But to show you how painful it is to even say words like Father, Daddy, Dad, Papa. She asked me if it was okay to call me fatherly. See, she couldn't call me father. That was too painful a word. So she thought I was fatherly. So can I call you fatherly? And so she started calling me fatherly, which I thought was pretty creative. I wouldn't have thought of that. But one day she broke my heart. She says, I love you so much, fatherly Mike, that if you want to burn me, you can, and be my daddy. It'll hurt, but I love you. And if you want to burn me to be my daddy, you can burn me. How do we overcome the hurtful relationships we may have had with an earthly father when we can't even say the name Father, Dad, Daddy without evoking tremendous, tremendous pain? And I've been able to introduce children and adults, many adults who have also had their sexual and physical abuse, to Abba. Nobody's using that name. It's not associated with anything in our daily lives. And Jesus told us we could pray to Abba God, Abba Father. Your Abba Father wants to throw open his arms and welcome you into his loving embrace. He wants you to sit in his lap so you can just lay back in his strength and find the security and the love and the warmth you've always wanted. That's the Father Jesus wanted us to know. Because you see, God is nothing like our earthly fathers, no matter how good they are. Earthly fathers are called to be like Abba Father. How is your relationship with your Heavenly Father? He wants to be Abba Father. He wants to welcome you and love you. He wants you to honor his Son. But Jesus said, I came that you might know Abba. Do you know him? Do you rest in his arms? Do you draw from his strength? He's waiting for you with open arms. Let us pray. Abba, Father. Abba. So sweet. So loving. So gentle. Push away the negative images we may have of fathers. Good fathers who made mistakes. Not so good fathers who never figured out what they were supposed to do. But you want to be Father to us all. Abba. Precious. Loving. Sensitive. Caring. Trustworthy. And there's nothing you want more than to see us running toward you and leaping into your heavenly arms. And just letting you fold us in your love and care that we might draw all the strength we need for today and tomorrow and forever. And we thank you for your Son introducing us to you as Abba Father. Amen.